Some people will remember a technology debate from the late 1960s. It seems archaic now, but it was about students using handheld scientific calculators in school, especially for use on math exams. Those who were anti-calculator said that students would not master computational problem-solving skills in mathematics using a calculator, and that faculty may one day lose their jobs in the field. Pro-calculator advocates said that young people would not be competitive in future employment if they couldn't effectively use a calculator. And my brilliant black mother reviewed both aspects of the argument, but ultimately expressed a great concern for the obvious downward course of civilization. Even so, when calculator use was sanctioned by the state school board, she purchased me and my brother the expensive Texas Instruments calculators that we needed for school. Fast forward many years later to the end of the semester, 2022. The professor was weary. More history essays were coming in, including a record number of late papers. Students were writing on broad topics such as how World War II shaped modern society, the political, social, and economic impact of globalization, and they traced the history of the technology to the advent of the World Wide Web, known as Web 1.0. It was a very familiar and mostly uneventful end of the semester. After so many decades of designing and teaching university-level general education history courses, I knew what to expect from my world history students. But I tell you now that I was wrong. Each time I sat down to grade the SS papers, something seemed a little bit off. It was a little bit eerie at times, but I really couldn't put my finger on it right away. Ultimately, it spoke to widespread plagiarism, and it was even more insidious than that. This is Dr. Catherine Bancoli Medina with The Invention of Racism. The goal of this podcast series is to share the subtle and not so subtle nuances of racism from the past into the 21st century. Understanding and speaking the truth about racism is the first step toward combating and ultimately eliminating it. So while you indulge me in my voice, which is still on the mend, I invite you to stay to the end of this podcast for my shout out or dedication. As you can imagine, I am referencing the inordinate number of college students using artificial intelligence language tools to create their history essays. Students have always found circuitous routes around collegiate coursework and exams. The papers submitted were very different than a quote standardized plagiarized paper, or even a copy and paste mission utilizing something like Wikipedia. And it was indeed a creepy encounter at first. Students, some of them, who earlier in the term had demonstrated bare bones writing skills, were submitting technical, formulaic, sometimes sophisticated, even near graduate level essays. Another indication was that these non-standard papers used staccato, truncated paragraphs, like one might see in an encyclopedia. Specific details were consistently generalized or minimally provided. Also, there were a number of highly troubling factual errors. For example, there was the obvious outlandish assertion that World War II formally ended in 1978 instead of 1945. In addition, these essays never cited any references. And finally, the same AI-generated essays espousing some of the same exact content appeared in the same class and among students across other classes. So when I saw major news articles in December 2022 about the rise of ChatGPT use among university students, I knew that this was probably what we were dealing with. And to be fair, OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT, fully admits and explains these issues with the program at the point of use. It now has a step-by-step disclaimer about proper use and cites the potential for incorrect information, harmful instructions, or biased content, and limited knowledge of world and events after 2021. Now, there are a number of big existential questions and concerns about artificial intelligence overall. And I can't begin to cover this, not in this podcast. The focus here is on the language model, not the broader issues of AI. However, beyond the implications of students cheating using AI, I first wanted to see what ChatGPT as a program had to say about the idea of student cheating. So I asked, and the chatbot said this. As an AI language model, my purpose is to provide information and assistance to people who ask me questions. However, I do not condone or support the use of my capabilities for cheating. Cheating is not only unethical, but it also undermines the purpose of education, which is to gain knowledge and develop critical thinking skills. Using an AI language model like myself to generate answers for academic assignments or tests is considered cheating and can have serious consequences. It is important for students to understand that academic integrity is an essential value that they should uphold throughout their academic career. Moreover, while I can provide relevant and accurate information, it is important to note that I am not a substitute for genuine learning and understanding. In fact, using me for cheating may harm the student's learning and their ability to develop the skills needed for success in their chosen fields. Therefore, students should resist the temptation to use me or any other AI tool for cheating and instead focus on genuine learning and understanding to achieve academic success. So, from OpenAI's explanation, and as you can see from ChatGPT's response, artificial intelligence language systems are trained using massive sets of data and information, and then mimics human-like conversation. The AI model can, with complex algorithms, which is complex software that solves problems, it can predict the next response based on the previous content produced. And for now, we know that it has learned that students using such content to plagiarize are deemed ethically wrong to do so. AI language systems can do much more than generate human-sounding text. You already know that it can code, of course, calculate, create websites, and accomplish a multitude of other advanced and creative program tasks. So as you can imagine, there are many scholars across the disciplines already writing about the AI program. One group of scholars recently called ChatGPT, quote, the world's most advanced chatbot thus far, end quote. So as a neophyte in the world of artificial intelligence language technology, I instructed the chatbot to define itself further, and here is what it said. Language models are typically trained using deep learning algorithms, such as recurrent neural networks known as RNNs or transformers. These models learn to recognize patterns in large volumes of text data and use these patterns to generate new language output. AI language models can be used for a variety of natural language processes, known as NLP, such as text classification, sentiment analysis, language translation, and question answering systems. They are also used to power chatbots, virtual assistants, and other conversational interfaces. Some examples of popular AI language models include GPT-3, which is a generative pre-trained transformer 3, or BERT, B-E-R-T, bidirectional encoder representations from transformers, and ELMO, E-L-M-O, embeddings from language models. These models have advanced NLP capabilities and have been used in a variety of applications, from academic research to commercial products. Now, faculty members in higher education are excited and concerned about AI, especially in terms of how this tool will impact teaching and learning. One of the early predictive comments is that faculty will have to find creative ways to confidently engage AI with students rather than rigidly exclude its use. Faculty members who are concerned about wanton cheating have already found AI tools that can detect assignments that are AI generated. But I share the main concern of many university faculty members that I know, and we sound just like my mother. Nothing less than the worldwide diminishment of critical thinking. We are concerned about the associated limitation of knowledge and the lack of fundamental research skill development, all culminating in a collective disdain for actual learning and, of course, intellectuality. To be clear, while some students are toiling to become critical thinkers, learning from their mistakes, and strengthening their cognitive abilities, other students are becoming adept in how to use AI to create academic essays that they didn't research or write. To add to their resume, they are also actively learning how to use AI to avoid detection. So instead of doing the assignment and gaining knowledge, students are using their time and cognitive abilities toward manipulating AI language systems. In addition, at this moment, more sophisticated computer-generated avatars can tutor and at least deliver content-laden lectures in nearly any field, solidifying fears of AI replacing higher education faculty and the tenure track altogether. Now, this is the existential part. We need to consider the implications of all of this for future society. And by that I mean, what kind of humans are we developing intellectually? I know that this is a weighty question without even inserting the presence of AI, but will American society entrust the future to a generation of people who do not possess the basic humanity skills to problem solve important human issues? Or will we allow artificial intelligence computation provide all the answers, and from whose algorithmic perspective? And for me, that is the question. The AI industry is dominated by white males, specifically those age 40 and younger, with technology executives perennially unable to provide leadership regarding equity, which includes Black people of color and women. So as I consider these and other important AI questions, I was also interested in using AI to probe something else, no less than the main theme of this podcast. Since my suspicions regarding AI generated student essays in that productivity last semester led me to ChatGPT, I was immediately interested in how it would define the concept of racism, especially since algorithms are increasingly being used in the criminal justice system in areas like risk assessment, inmate classification, parole decisions, predictive policing, and inmate monitoring. These areas of the criminal justice system are heavily criticized for racial bias masquerading as scientific authority. On this topic, I recommend reviewing the research and scholarship of Ngozi Okidebe, professor of law and computing and data sciences at Boston University. And for more generalized concerns about AI, see the recently published report, Commission on Artificial Intelligence, Competitiveness, Inclusion, and Innovation by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce AI Commission. So on the inquiry into racism, I asked ChatGPT to simply define racism and speak to the Africana experience. Here is the response. Racism is a belief or practice that individuals or groups are inherently superior or inferior based on their race, and that this perceived difference in race justifies unequal treatment, discrimination, and prejudice. Racism can be expressed through actions, attitudes, or institutional structures and policies. The impact of racism on people of African descent has been significant and enduring, as they have faced a long history of enslavement, colonization, segregation, and discrimination based on their race. This has resulted in systemic and structural inequalities that continue to affect access to education, employment, healthcare, housing, and justice. Racism has also resulted in pervasive stereotypes, biases, and prejudices against Black people, which have contributed to the perpetuation of negative stereotypes, reduced opportunities, and heightened racial tension and conflict. Furthermore, racism can lead to physical and psychological harm, such as hate crimes, trauma, and stress-related illnesses. The ongoing fight against racism and its impact on people of African descent is a critical social justice issue that requires ongoing attention, education, and action. So that's what the chat box had to say in terms of defining what they believe racism is. Then I asked for a specific example from history, and ChatGPT said the following. One specific example of racism and its impact on people of African descent is the transatlantic slave trade, which took place from the 16th through the 19th century. Millions of Africans were forcibly captured and transported across the Atlantic Ocean to work on plantations and in the mines in the Americas and the Caribbean. This trade was fueled by the belief that Africans were inferior and could be treated as property. It resulted in the loss of millions of lives, the destruction of African societies, and the legacy of racial inequality that persists today. The trauma and exploitation of enslaved people of African descent and their descendants continue to impact their lives and opportunities. The legacies of slavery and racism are still visible in disparities in income, health, education, and political representation. So as I begin to wrap this up, I will let you decide how accurate or relevant the ChatGPT response is in defining racism and how this definition might change in the near future. I hope to see more scholarship critiquing AI technology in the fields of Black studies, history, and the humanities among both independent and academic scholars. I will say that ChatGPT appears to give you what you ask for, and the emphasis is on appears. But the more you dig, the more you drill down, the more specific it gets. However, you have to ask the right questions and do a deep dive. But consider that if information is inherently biased or banned in the algorithm or in real life, as in the alt-right movement to ban books in the United States, AI will never have that information to train on. This is not to mention the cost of using it, which adds to the digital access divide for many people. ChatGPT is technically still in a kind of beta learning phase with a free and a premium version. And currently, the premium version of ChatGPT is $20 a month for priority access to the platform. So finally, as if people are not anxiety-laden enough, the fact that AI can mimic human conversation can be uncanny for humans, because some people may get this sense that the program is self-aware. It is not. My mother thought that the advent of calculators and their use in schools would herald the end of world civilization. Honestly, she is not yet to be proven wrong, but I wonder what she would think about the emerging artificial intelligence technology. I can say that knowing or not knowing how to use a calculator, except for algebra and trigonometry, was never an issue in my life. However, I do occasionally use the calculator on my smartphone. But my brilliant black mother, who was a voracious reader, especially science fiction, would probably say, "Don't let our awe of AI technology prevent us from effectively teaching and managing it to perform for humanity's benefit rather than against it." So by now, you should be familiar with the award-winning 2020 AI documentary film Coded Bias. This film was directed by filmmaker Shalini Kataya, and the film features Dr. Joy Bulamwini, founder of the Algorithmic Justice League, an organization designed to address racial and gender bias in AI facial recognition technology. She talks about AI prejudice against dark-skinned people in a field dominated by what she calls, quote, pale males, and how this challenges racial justice overall. So I'm thinking of a quote by Joy Bulamwini and applying it to AI. She said simply, quote, "Data is a reflection of our history," end quote. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Support for independent podcasts like The Invention of Racism is so critical at this moment in the national and global effort to dismantle racism and to establish human equality. We need as many thoughtful and courageous voices as possible. If you believe in and appreciate this anti-racism podcast, continue to download, like, and share and support us. I encourage you to honestly analyze, examine, and put an end to racism. At this time, I want to give a shout out to the Southeast London girl, aka Miss Paula Green. She posts from London, England, and was an early supporter of the Invention of Racism podcast. She has several notable social media projects worth checking out. So thank you so much, Southeast London girl. I truly appreciate your support. If you are listening to this podcast series, then you already know. Discourse on racism is not for the faint of heart. I hope that you will continue to join me as I present key topics in The Invention of Racism.